Welcome to Soundwatch, a science podcast dedicated to communicating ecological issues and relevant research to Southeast Alaska. Soundwatch is comprised of students from the University of California, Santa Cruz, studying the effects of global change on the unique marine ecosystems here in Sitka Sound.
Have you ever found yourself wandering through a forest park and wondering, how did these trees grow to be so tall? And what are all of these mushrooms doing? Walking through the local parks in Sitka, we found ourselves asking the same questions and wondering, how do salmon fit into all of this? We are students from the University of California, Santa Cruz, and we're lucky enough to get to spend the month doing research in Sitka, Alaska. I'm Isabella.
I'm Alexis.
And I'm Dylan.
And we are so happy to be able to talk to you today.
Over the last month, we have spent a lot of time at the Sitka Sound Science Center and Hatchery. Coming from Santa Cruz, we've never even seen a salmon, and we're mind blown that the streams could turn red with them. Being around the hatchery, we became very interested in the impact of marine nutrients salmon bring to freshwater and forest ecosystems, and how changing climates may affect this process. As I'm sure most, if not all, of you are aware, salmon have a unique life cycle where they spend the first part of their lives in freshwater streams and most of their adult life in the ocean, traveling back to their home stream at the end of their life to lay their eggs. The really cool part of this is what happens after the adults lay their eggs and die upstream, or become a meal along the way.
Such is life for our fishy friends. However, our changing climate may pose a risk to this delicate cycle. As the oceans and rivers warm, salmon are having to change their habits in drastic ways in order to survive. For example, salmon today are using more energy just to survive instead of migrating and reproducing. This impacts not only the amount of salmon returning, but also the nutrients certain streams receive.
It's interesting that you say that, Dylan, because a recent study actually found that juvenile salmon are spending less time in their birth streams as food becomes more abundant with rising temperatures. While this may sound great for salmon fry, it may cause the whole age class to move out into the ocean earlier and over a shorter period of time. And if ocean conditions are bad one year, the whole age class may take a hit, putting the stability of salmon populations at risk as there are less salmon to repopulate the streams.
But the salmon that do return bring tons of nutrients that they've soaked up from the ocean back to their freshwater birth streams. Each of the five species of salmon in Alaska are a little different, spending on average 1 to 5 years in the ocean, gorging themselves, and absorbing a special type of marine nitrogen that is traceable from salmon, through ecosystems, and even into tree rings.
Yeah, it's so cool how we can trace it through the ecosystem. When salmon die in freshwater streams, this marine nitrogen gets dispersed back into streams and forest through fungi and bacteria. The fungi break down salmon carcasses and make all those nutrients readily available for plants to suck up. This input of nitrogen allows shrubs and trees, such as the Sitka spruce, to grow 3 times faster than they would without the extra fertilizer. More forest growth makes for healthier streams and improves future spawning habitat, helping to ensure the long-term stability of future salmon populations and of the forest. Locally, this effect is super apparent. In the Tongass National Forest, there are up to 5,000 salmon-supporting streams, with almost 90% of the forest in Tongass existing within 3 miles of salmon streams.
That's really neat, Isabella. For salmon, the best fry habitat tends to be along a narrow strip of riverbank where there's plenty of shade, shelter, and lots of leaf litter dropped by the surrounding trees. This section of forest on the river acts as a buffer between streams and terrestrial systems and provides important benefits to both us and the ecosystem. For one, their roots stabilize the soil and capture floodwater, preventing erosion, easing flooding, and soaking up pollutants and sediment. This is likely to become even more important in the coming years as rainfall in Alaska increases and streams grow in return.
So what steps can we take to ensure a healthy salmon population, especially a healthy salmon return? The first step is to save what we already have by protecting existing healthy salmon runs. That way, the areas where salmon thrive are able to exist continually, without threat of habitat loss from development.
Climate adaptation strategies for communities include restoration of habitat both for salmon and for flood management. By protecting and restoring salmon habitat, communities get an additional benefit of water filtration and flood control, since the systems that support salmon also reduce flooding by absorbing excess water and slowing down streams.
Though there's often a focus on huge changes like limiting CO2 emissions, there's plenty of other ways to make an impact on global change. It's important to note that Alaskans already live pretty sustainable lifestyles, which is a key step in reducing global impact. Something that anyone can do is to get locally involved, whether it be political engagement in local issues or fisheries management in your local area. It's a really simple way to make changes on issues you find important.
Once again, I'm Isabella.
I'm Alexis.
And I'm Dylan.
And thank you for joining us today. We've had a blast exploring the relationship between salmon and the forests here in Sitka, and we hope that the next time you find yourself wandering outdoors, you can see the salmon in the trees.